Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. Joining us today is my special guest, Suzanne Ruff, author of The Reluctant Donor, sharing an inspiring, loving journey to organ donation and how it is possible to live with courage and faith. Suzanne had 19 family members afflicted with degenerative polycystic kidney disease, for which there is no cure. Suzanne is now a living kidney donor, and she's going to tell us something about her journey. She is also a freelance writer for the Charlotte Observer and has been published in the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, Grieving and Recovery, and also the Chicken Soup for the Soul Harvard Medical School series. Suzanne is one of the nation's greatest advocates for organ transplants and works tirelessly to educate the public about how organ transplants can save lives. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm delighted to be here.
And I'm delighted to have you today. Suzanne, as listeners of Healing From Within know, it is my hope and also the goal of this show to retell stories and amazing life experiences that the guests have had, which often can give us insights into age-old questions about life, its purpose, and how our seemingly hardest challenges often lead to deep felt faith and courage, teaching us how to love more and to remember the divine souls we are connected to, both here in life and those in life beyond. It is really in this oneness and unity of life that freedom from fear occurs and courage is born. In today's episode, we learn of a beautiful family, your family, that found joy and blessings in their lives, moving selflessly beyond suffering to bring more knowledge about the genetic disease, polycystic kidney disease, also known as PKD, for which there is no cure and which strikes 12 million people worldwide. And I know you will share a chronicle of your beautiful family and how many of them work towards defeating the disease and the responsibility you now assume for continuing the work of your parents, who were the founding members of the PKD Foundation. And I believe the website for that is pkdcure.org to get more information about this work. Suzanne, let's start. Would you please tell us something about your early family life and the values you were brought up with, which eventually helped you make the decision to be a donor for your sister when she needed a new kidney?
Well, certainly. My mother was the youngest of six children, and I think they were an amazing group of siblings. I always say that my story begins before I was born with my grandmother, who, of course, was the mother of those six children, mm-hmm. and my mother being the youngest. And they were all just an amazing, they had such great respect for each other and love for each other that I noticed even as a child. And my grandmother, who died before I was born, was the one that was first struck with kidney disease. And it was in the 1940s.
Did they know what it was then? Probably not.
No, they did not. And what I find interesting, and I usually tell people, is during World War II, there was a doctor in that was experimenting with the first dialysis machine. And I always think about my grandmother, who I was named after, but of course never met. And her three sons fought, in all three of them, in World War II. And during the war, this doctor was experimenting with washing machine and tubes and orange juice cans to create a dialysis machine. And he had to, if I remember correctly my research, he had to go to the Netherlands during the war to do the research. And that was all going on around the time my grandmother's kidneys were failing.
That's amazing, because that means anyone who had this disease before that, just like diabetes, before insulin came about, not that long ago, really, and people who had the disease, there was no help for them.
Now, I know, really, that's true.
Yeah.
There's It isn't. I loved that you say it's not that long ago. Because
it is not that long ago.
Really. I always joke with my daughters, really, the women got the right to vote not that long ago when you think about it.
That too. Now, I know you had three sisters and also a wonderful aunt, Sister Mike, who showed you. She was a nun, and she showed you love for family and God and courage for life. And, you know, I must say this to you. There were times I was actually crying reading your book because there was so much synchronicity with your family. And the way you described your mom and how she didn't fit the mold of a stay-at-home mother in the 50s and 60s because she didn't love cooking, she didn't like housekeeping or anything that domestic, but she would, you described her as roaring with laughter, smoking, and played poker, and had a terrific sense of humor. So she was spunky and spirited, and she sounded exactly like my mother, Seal. So I guess your mother, Joan, and my mother, Seal, were the forerunners for equality in the workplace, home, right?
And definitely.
Fairness and for cooperation and love, but they were very powerful women. Right?
I think my mother would love if I said described her on your show by saying she was quite abroad.
I think so too. And I know your mother, you wrote this in the book, worried for her grandchildren. Now, my mom worried about diabetes because that was in my family. And just before she passed, when my son was 22, we found out my son had it. So there are many families living with genetic disorders, and of course we all want what's best for our family. But sometimes these illnesses, if we have the right attitude and we have pulled together and love and ask for miracles from spirit, we get lots of help. We can move past this place of, how can we say it, sadness, to a state of truer faith, health, and love. And there are many ways to describe all that. You know, it's all in the perspective we have. So, Suzanne, tell us, what is PKD? And a little bit more about it, and how prevalent is it?
Well, it's a PKD is a genetic disease, and it's characterized by multiple cysts of varying sizes growing over both kidneys and eventually causing them to fail. The cysts are caused by uncontrolled cell proliferation, mm-hmm. and they fill with fluids. They're benign cysts, but they just cause a kidney to fail. And a normal kidney weighs about 10 ounces and is the size of your fist. And a PKD kidney can weigh up to 35 pounds. I have one sister who has, both of my sisters have PKD, but the doctor has said one of my sisters, each of her diseased kidneys weighs 14 pounds each. So if you pick up a frozen turkey in the freezer section, I mean, that's a lot of that. And that's the other thing that people don't understand is in the early days of transplantation, my sisters both still have their diseased kidneys, even though they have had a kidney transplant.
Oh, they kept one? They were able to keep one?
They do not remove the diseased kidneys in both their cases because they were too ill to withstand the surgery for. So there's a picture of the three of us, and it says three sisters, seven kidneys between us, because they each have three, and now I have one. But yes, it's a disease that I was frustrated about because people would say PK what, and one in 500 people have PKD. But it doesn't strike till middle age, usually, the AD PKD, the dominant form that my family has. And my dad always says that he thinks it's because there isn't a famous movie star with the disease.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's the way to look at it. But I know the only way to survive with it is a life on dialysis or a transplant. That's the only choice. And I also know from your book that the transplant list now has more than 116,000 people on it. Getting back to another part of your amazing family, away from the disease for a minute, because I think the way your family and the way the personalities and behavior of your family helped you deal with this and make you a better representative to show people what is really necessary to deal with any challenge in our life, whether it's a disease or any other emotional, situation that we have to deal with. And so I want to get to show a little bit about your family. Now, one of the aunts, your mother Joan's sister, was Mike. Her name was Mike, and she was known as Sister Mike, right?
That's yes.
And I often wondered if nuns and priests, this is really true, I have often wondered about this, if nuns and priests remain connected to their birth families, you know, after taking on their religious responsibilities, and if they were allowed to maintain a bond with their personal family.
And you can see in my book that we definitely kept a very close bond with Sister Mike. She was probably my favorite person on earth growing up and was probably like a second mother to my mother, because her mother died, my grandmother that I told you about, died when the doctor said there was nothing more they could do for her. And she went home. She was known for her gracious entertaining and told my grandfather she wanted the house to look nice for her funeral. So they could put, they want, she wanted him to put in new carpeting. And my mother was at her deathbed, and she said it was a beautiful death, that my grandmother sat straight up and said, "Here I am, Lord," and then passed away. And my mother was a teenager. And so Sister Mike was definitely 10 years older than my mom, and definitely a huge influence on my mother, who was, as you said, quite a party girl and a lot of fun. But, you know, I have a cousin who is a Roman Catholic nun, a priest right now, I'm sorry, and we had this very sad, 2 weeks ago, one of my cousins with PKD died suddenly. And sadly, it's the ninth death in our family, and my cousin, who's the priest, arrived at the wake, and he told us that he has to put his name on the transplant waiting list because his kidneys are failing from PKD. So you're right. I feel that I was, I know it sounds silly, but I feel actually like I was called to tell their stories, because they, my mother's family was truly remarkable, and they were teaching me life lessons. And I hated this disease with all my heart growing up. It made me cry when my mother came down with it, and then both my sisters. And yet I think it has taught me the lessons of life, and death is a part of life.
Absolutely. Well, I think death is a continuation of life, a transference of our energy or soul or memories and connections to everybody to a plane beyond this. But let me just say something in regard to what you said. You said, I know in reading the book that Sister Mike called you Bubbles, and when you graduated from high school, she sent you a typewriter. It was almost like a prediction that your writing would help so many later on. And I kind of feel maybe because she prayed and meditated so much, she may have had a precognitive vision of what would come to pass later in your life. You know, I'm an intuitive healer, and I get many of these impressions. And I always wish to help another person in a quiet way assume the mantle of their destiny, which I think she did. For you.
I do. I write in my book that my mother called them God winks when something, a coincidence happened. And I told my husband, why did it take me so long to figure out why that typewriter, that was so symbolic and so it gave me exactly what you said earlier, such responsibility, because many people ask me if I feel guilty that I didn't inherit the disease, and I being the only one, and I always joke that it's that I won the genetic lottery pool, but I don't feel so much guilt as I feel personal responsibility.
Yes. And we should never really feel guilt, because we're, I believe, all born with a plan, a destiny, and a way to connect other people and do the best we can in this world. And you're doing exactly that with the typewriter. Well, probably now you're using a computer, but that
one thing. Yes.
Suzanne, I have to tell you another God wink or coincidence. I'm like the queen of coincidences and synchronicity, and the more you're connected to this, the more it happens. The day before I received a press release for your book, The Reluctant Donor, I was working on a show with Raven Keyes, who's the author of The Healing Power of Reiki. She's like me. She's a Reiki master teacher and a medium. And I was reading the story of Shawn, and that's spelled S-H-A-W-N, a young man who was about to receive a double lung transplant. And I know, since there are no coincidences and we are being guided to share our experiences and the faith and love that come through even in the most challenging moments of our lives, that you and I were going to talk together on healing from within. And another connection happened a few weeks later. I was beginning to read your book, and I attended an event where Raven was speaking. And of all the stories in her book, she selected the story of Shawn to read to the group, encouraging me to read something that she wrote in her book. She received a message before the transplant from Archangel Gabriel in regard to transplants and how special the people and the process is. So may I read a message from Archangel Gabriel?
Oh, sure.
Okay. There are connections between the participants on both sides of a transplant. The one that gives is serving the receiver as well as the higher calling of God. The God consciousness is calling to a soul to come home. The physical pieces left behind can be used wisely by a person ready to receive healing into their life. What we ask is that one be ready to accept the gift by remaining open to the forward movement of their own life. One can accomplish more of their purpose when one allows themselves to receive what is offered. Please do your best to help those in your care to receive their healing. One can never heal without acceptance of the gifts given by Spirit to all who call for healing. All life is connected. Look after those in your care. Now, the message went on to say, even though it was going to be a hard procedure, Shawn would win his fight to survive because he had more work to do. Now, Suzanne, your sister Joanne's transplant was different from Shawn's transplant because he received his lungs from someone who had died or passed, and you were a living donor. So that was very different. Can you tell us how you conquered the fear of such an operation, and if spiritual guidance or love of spirit aided you in your final decision to be the donor?
Well, because of all those people in my past and the courage that they showed me, that's how I found courage. I felt like they were with me every step of the way. I always tell everyone it's called the reluctant donor because I'm exactly like the cowardly lion in the Wizard of Oz.
I don't think so. I think the courage was there, and it was just waiting for the right opportunity to show itself.
I'm so weak as far as hospitals and needles and blood, and no one expected me to do that. And the ones that know me well, because I have been known to faint when I had a flu shot. So I really wouldn't, I really and truly think that I was guided by something greater than I could understand. And I just followed it through.
And you did. And I want to read something that you wrote that says exactly almost that. You wrote in The Reluctant Donor, "Each of us walks the path of our destiny. We will stumble and fall along our way. We will come to the proverbial fork in the road. The path is paved with pebbles left by our ancestors. And if we are intuitive, signs are everywhere. It isn't always of our choosing, this path of life. But then again, neither is our genetic code." So I find that statement, doing the work I do as an intuitive healer, to be so correct and accurate, and it is my sense of knowing as an intuitive that we are all connected through the strands of eternal energy. And I believe as souls, we select the parents and family we need to have the physical body and set of circumstances to refine and develop our inner self with greater strength and compassion and love. Now, I believe people say to me sometimes, why would I select an alcoholic or sexually abusive or mentally ill or a family with genetic diseases like diabetes or PKD or any other disorder or dysfunction? Why do you think we do? I just say, because your soul is strong enough to accept the challenge, and what we do enhances our evolution as human beings and spiritual beings, and also helps those other, perhaps, functioning and loving entities beyond here. That's what I like to think, anyhow, that we're never alone, and that we're growing our sense of integrity and true strength through all this. And I think you wrote that pretty much.
I really think, Cheryl, you're right. It's not that there must be a lesson in anything that the older I get, the more I think when I have something very dreadful happen to me, I stop and realize there is a lesson I am supposed to learn from this. And that took years and years and years of temper tantrums to get there. But I was a bit like that
as a child, too. But look at us now.
Well, isn't that amazing? And that there's always a sign, what you're saying. My mother called them little miracles. I always joke that we're Irish Catholics, so we believe in angels and miracles and leprechauns. But there's always, I'm always amazed at the things that happen that you pick up on if you really are looking for it.
And paying attention. It's happening to all of us, but you have to pay attention. You have to, the physical life around us has so many distractions. We have to quiet. We have to find the time to be just connected to this divine energy and our loved ones in spirit. But I have a story that we have to get in here that's pretty amazing, talking about these miracles. Now, you describe an interesting friendship between you and your husband and another person, a young man named Sean. Now, his name was S-E-A-N. And you're right, he was young enough to be
your
son, and yet the three of you moved to Hawaii because of some job change. Now, can you tell us something about what you believe the reason for that bond between you and Sean was?
What he felt
about being an organ donor.
Sean was, we had to get our license, our new driver's license, and Sean showed me his, and it didn't have the organ donor box checked. And at that point in my life, my mother and my sister had received kidneys from deceased donors. So I was, you know, the cheerleader of all cheerleaders for organ donation. And I called Sean on it, and he said he would never, 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 ever, ever be an organ donor. And he came from South Africa, is where he was born and raised. And the chances of me meeting him were like a million to one. And he ended up going back and changing his driver's license, and we had a nice laugh over it and said, I hope you never have to be an organ donor and you live a long life. And that was the end of it. And then 2 years later, his mother needed a kidney transplant. It was amazing because
Became the donor?
Yes. Sean flew back to South Africa to see his mother, returned and told me that he told his mother he would be her living donor. And I remember just being floored at how far he had come, and he did do it. And his their transplant occurred 2 years before my sister collapsed, and I gave her one of my kidneys. And I really think that I would never have gotten through it without Sean. And I used to think I was put into Sean's life to help him when the joke was on me, because Sean is the one that taught me.
Absolutely. So. We never know who needs the help first. I want to also read something you wrote. I often wonder if angels orchestrate why we come into each other's lives. I know that indeed we do come with a life plan or itinerary, and people, places, and experiences that are not random but necessary for our soul development. People leave and new people appear, and we continue to share our journey, hopefully learning to accept all change more easily and knowing that we are never alone, always connected, and will in time be beyond this physical plane to share our experiences and continue to evolve as the divine energy spirits that we are. Now, you wrote that, and it's exactly the theme and hope of all my work, that people get those simple concepts clear in their mind so that they can live without fear and can live a positive, joyful, healthy life. But getting back to the story of your friend Sean, spelled S-E-A-N, different from the Sean, S-H-A-W-N, Sean went beyond just being the organ donor, as you said, and gave his mother a kidney on March 14th. That's
correct.
That is the day my dad passed. And recently I learned 3/14 is the day of pi, or in mathematical terms, the whole and everything. Coincidence?
Oh.
No. A part of our destiny and need to be with certain people? Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
By the way, my mom also lost a kidney from cancer. So the synchronicity in our families, living in two different parts of the country with different religious training. Well, really, I didn't have too much religious training. I have always been more spiritual. But it's amazing. It's just amazing.
It's a wonderful to have that spiritualness. It really will get you through anything, and that's what I found out. My mother had such a great sense of humor and such a good view of what she believed in heaven and an afterlife, and that we'd all be together. And she sure as heck wouldn't lie to me. So,
but my mother, as much as she was so much like your mother in the description, I don't think believed in that, and she had a lot of fear about passing and health issues. So I'm glad that we're talking about this so other people can get this. Now, Suzanne, what do you believe is the greatest gift you can learn in life and share with others?
I think the greatest gift I have ever received is knowing that I'm here for a purpose, and that if you feel that you have a purpose, you're needed, and the greatest thing we could do for each other is to help each other, which is the essence of organ donation. I can't imagine what greater thing you could do for your fellow man than to be an organ donor in the event of a sudden or unexpected death. And I don't mean a living donor. That's a very personal decision. But giving to others, I mean, it completely changed me and my life. I am a different person for facing my fear and for saving my sister's life.
Yes, and the greatest gift I believe your mother Joan and my mother gave me in her own way was the gift of faith. And I often say to people that it's easy to have faith when things are going well, but faith is like a balloon. Yeah, it just lifts up and tries to get away from us to soar and go high up and connect with all that is that's magnificent and good. But like a balloon, you must hold tightly when times are hard. And then faith will carry us through this physical world and teach us that love and trust is ever evolving. And there are those above who love us, assist us, and wait for us to join us, to join them at the right time. So I want to thank you, Suzanne, for sharing the story of your family's triumph over insurmountable odds to find the way to battle an unrelenting genetic disease, as all diseases are unrelenting and painful for the family to deal with, and to still find the love and joy in life and each other. Not only did you and all your family members believe the words of your religious training, but you all found the courage to hold on to faith and live each day in the moment. For more information on PKD and to purchase the reluctant donor, go to pkdcure.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, I will read what Suzanne's mom, Joan, said before being wheeled into the operating room for her kidney transplant on the 13th anniversary of her sister's death. Joan asked to be wheeled into the chapel on the way to surgery and said, "Today I'm going to pray for that other guy, the Holy Spirit, and looking up at the beautiful mosaic of the Holy Spirit, she saw a glorious white dove that she had never noticed before. And then she remembered going to sleep in the operating room, and it seemed only seconds when she awoke and the whole operation was over. Before my mom passed, she told me that her message from the other side would be three doves. And over the years, I smile as I often see the doves and remember that faith is knowing that there are miracles. And perhaps the best miracle is enjoying the gift of life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, and to go to WebTalkRadio.net and also Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, to hear about the dynamic people and influences that help us remember the nature of life, love, and an enduring enchantment with universal energy. Thank you.